Okay, good evening, everybody. At 7 o'clock, call to order the Town Discovery Bay General CSD Board Meeting. If I can ask you all to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I get roll call, please? Director Graves, are you on the line? Director Graves, are you on the line?
Director Graves, I thought I heard you earlier. I thought I heard him earlier, Chair.
Well, we'll give Director Graves one more minute. Director Graves, you're on the line.
Stop working.
Wish I did.
Well, staff is aware that Director Graves may have some communication issues calling in from a distant location. And so the staff recommendation is that when we confirm that he's on the line, that we let the record reflect at that time that he's joined in, and I'm sure he'll have some explanation.
Sounds good.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present with the exception of Vice President Graves.
Okay. With that, now's the time for public comments. Here's the opportunity for any member of the public who wishes to address the board about any item that's not on the agenda tonight. I'll ask if you want to speak to please identify yourself and let us know who you are. For everyone else, please mute your phone until you're ready to speak. Are there any members of the public who wishes to speak?
Mr. Chair, this is Rod Atterbury. Before you get started, Mr. Graves, I believe, is on the line now. I called him.
Outstanding.
Actually, I'm on the line now. Because I joined the meeting, but yes, I'm on the line now, however I got there.
Thank you for Director Graves. So we'll let the meetings reflect that, the record reflect that he's on the line. Going back to public comments, are there any members of the public that wishes to address the board? Okay, hearing none, then I will close public comments and we'll proceed to the consent calendar. Is there any items that need to be removed, or can I get a motion?
I'll motion to accept the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Pichot?
Aye. Consent calendar, our motion carries. Consent calendar is approved. We'll move forward to area agencies reports. Is there a member of Jim Fraser's office online? I don't believe there is, but I'll give him a minute. How about Supervisor Burgess's office? Sheriff report?
So from the Sheriff's office?
Yes, go ahead. Is that Lieutenant Johnson?
Yes, Mark Johnson, Lieutenant Sheriff's Department. All right. So for the month of May, for Discovery Bay and the station house, we had 27 arrests. For just Discovery Bay, we had 402 calls for service. We took 46 reports. It was a busy month, nothing major. We're still seeing a large amount of thefts of catalytic converters. So I had an analyst look at that, and we are most likely to get hit in Discovery Bay on early Friday and Saturday mornings from 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. And the closer you live to Highway 4, is the best chance you have of getting your account server stolen. So we're going to put more people out during those times. We also have a bait car we're putting out there as well to see if we get lucky and catch some of those things. We haven't got anybody yet, but I will keep you posted on that. We've also increased our traffic enforcement 2 days this month. I had a couple of traffic officers work Discovery Bay Boulevard and the surrounding areas. They wrote a total of 20 tickets. That was for speeds, cell phones, and stop signs. I also have another 2 to 4 days this month I'm trying to schedule to do the same thing as well. And we'll do it in different areas, like Newport and some of those areas as well. All right, so some of the reports that we did take, the Contra Costa County Health Director was receiving numerous threats. Our detectives did an investigation and found that it was coming from a Discovery Bay resident. They did a search and arrest warrant at that house, and subsequently took that person into custody. One night, a Saturday night about midnight, one of our automated license plate reader cameras hit on a stolen car in the area of Newport Drive, so our deputies flooded that area. Subsequently found the car, tried to pull it over, the car took off, so they ended up chasing the car down Highway 4 into Antioch and Pittsburgh, where CHP ended up taking over that pursuit. They chased the car all the way to Berkeley, and eventually was able to stop the car and take two suspects into custody, both of which had warrants. We also had another automated license plate reader hit on a stolen car in the Bixler Road area. We saturated the area. We ultimately found that car off of Willow Lake in the neighborhood, and that was like about 1 in the morning. The driver of that car was actually known to us for theft, so that was actually a good find. We had a total of 5 warrant arrests. 2 served on folks that live in Discovery Bay. One was a couple nights ago at the CVS where one of our deputies stopped a suspicious vehicle out front. 2 people in the car ended up having warrants for theft and burglary. I'm pretty sure they were there to shop up at the CVS, but we stopped them beforehand. We also had somebody calling a suspicious person over at the Army storage lot on Newport. Our deputies contacted that individual, who also had a warrant for burglary out of San Joaquin County. We took a handful of child abuse cases. All those cases were unfounded. We didn't find any evidence of that. All those cases were forwarded to our detectives for follow-up. We took 2 runaway juvenile reports. We took a forgery at the CVS. We had 2 thefts from vehicles, one where somebody left their bicycle in the back of a truck. Somebody and I came and took the bicycle, as well as those toolboxes you see in the back of trucks. Those are popular for crooks to come by. They see that, they'll take the time and pop a lock and steal tools. So any chance you get, if you have one of those trucks or cars, it's all parked inside the garage if you can, but those are attractive to thieves. We took 3 identity theft reports, which identity theft is very popular. We take a handful of those each month. We took 2 fraud reports as it relates to phone scams, and that's becoming more popular. They really are targeting our elderly. So I know our detective folks are trying to put together a class to sort of educate some folks on that. So if people call and you don't know who they are, hang up. Let's see here. We had 1 vandalism where some tires were slashed. And I mentioned this last month briefly, where one of our automated license plate reader cameras picked up a stolen car. We immediately started heading to the area. While we were en route, the Safeway gas station reported an armed robbery, and it was actually the same car. So as the deputies got close, we put 2 and 2 together, thinking, hey, this is going to be the same car. They did spot the vehicle. Short pursuit, suspect ended up dumping the car in some orchards and fled, and was subsequently arrested after a short pursuit by one of our KR officers. So that was a pretty good case. And that suspect was also responsible for 2 vehicle burglaries that happened earlier that day over at the Chevron gas station in Byron. 4th of July weekend is coming up. I am getting nervous. You know, I'm sure it's gonna be a warm weekend, the fire danger, the fireworks. And we are somewhat short-staffed.
Did we lose you, Lieutenant Johnson? I think we lost him.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, you're back.
Can you hear me?
Yep, last we heard was you were nervous about 4th of July.
Yeah, so we are going to be short-staffed. I'm trying to put as many people on overtime as possible that weekend to deal with fireworks, party compliance, all that kind of stuff. Our rent control is going to be out in force. So we'll see what we can do with that. I'd like to try to team up with fire to deal with some of the fireworks and site individuals that are lighting them off. But other than that, I'm open for any questions.
I'm not seeing any questions. Obviously, you guys have a very busy month. One day you'll call us and say you had nothing going on. And that'll make us very happy.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Let's move forward to...
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Let's move forward. Is there a member of the CHP on the line? CHP, you out there? I'm not hearing anyone from the CHP. How about East Contra Costa Fire Protection District?
Good evening, Board Battalion Chief McCumber here. How you doing?
Good, thank you, sir.
Good. As far as I missed the last meeting, I was actually all well prepared to go and ended up going to that vegetation fire that I'll talk about here in just a little bit. So I'll give you some updates for April and May. So in the month of April, there were 52 calls in Discovery Bay with an average response up to 9 minutes. No major incidents for the month of April. District-wide, we ran 659 calls for service with an average response time of 848. That included responding to 5 residential fires, 1 commercial fire, 4 vehicle fires, 2 large vehicle fires, 5 vegetation fires, 28 exterior fires. District also responded to 21 vehicle accidents with 11 requiring rescue, 6 vehicle versus pedestrian accidents, 3 motorcycle accidents, and 3 bicycle accidents. In May, the district ran 65 calls in Discovery Bay with an average response time of 9 minutes. On May 5th, there was a 15-acre vegetation fire behind the lakes. That was fireworks caused. Unfortunately, we were not able to cite anyone. It was just determined that our fire investigation team could not figure out who did it. There were some real vague descriptions of the vehicle and the people. Like the lieutenant said, fireworks are going to be a problem this year, especially with the 4th being on a Sunday. We are expecting a full weekend of fireworks, and we will be trying to upstaff some extra personnel and extra units that day. For the lieutenant, if you're still listening, just give our fire marshal a call. I'm pretty sure you know how to get a hold of Steve O'Bear, so you just can coordinate some enforcement activities. I will jump to, there was a structure fire yesterday. Technically, it was June, but it came first. In Discovery Bay on Balboa, that was an attic fire. Still under investigation with an unknown cause, but it did cause extensive damage to the attic of the home and some water damage to the rest of the home. Fortunately, all the residents did get out unharmed. Overall, for May, the district ran 709 calls and an average response time of 841. That included responding to 5 residential fires, 9 vehicle fires, 1 large vehicle fire, 7 vegetation fires, and 26 exterior fires. District also responded to 22 vehicle accidents, additional 12 occurring rescue, 1 vehicle versus pedestrian accident, 4 motorcycle accidents, and 2 bicycle accidents. So, jumping back, it is wildland season. Obviously, we are extremely concerned about not just fireworks, but with how dry the vegetation is. We are now seeing, according to our last National Weather Service update from the experts, that where I think the last time I talked to this board, we were seeing record low of fuel moisture levels throughout the region that would typically be seen in the June-July area. Well, now at the end of May, beginning of June, we're seeing fuel moisture levels that we typically see at the end of September, beginning of October levels. That's how dry the fuels are up in the hills and all across the state. So we are basically predicting a long, hard fire season. At least until we get some rains to alleviate some of these drought concerns. But there's nothing in the forecast. So it's high alert right now. usually at the beginning of the June is when we're just starting to ramp up, but as I'm sure you've all seen the news, lots of vegetation fires up and down the state everywhere. So it's here, so if you have parcels or areas that you think need to be abated, please don't hesitate to call our Fire Prevention Bureau, our numbers on our website, or contact them through email at fire@ecctfpd.org. But just so everybody knows, we do have an app. You just go to the App Store on either Google or Apple and type in ECCFPD, and one of our apps comes up, one of our two. The one app is a GoGov app. You can actually file complaints for weed abatement through that app. It goes right to our prevention bureau, and they send someone out to inspect it. Right now, our fire prevention bureau is fully, you know, waist deep into vegetation abatement, enforcement, all across our jurisdiction right now. So if you see our personnel out all the time in these fields, that's what they're doing. So we have all our fire aides out there, our inspectors, you name it. So it's a big job. We're hoping everybody gets it done sooner than later because, you know, one less vegetation fire is just more time that we're around to respond to other incidents in the district. Jumping to the topics here, our annexation discussion with Contra Costa County Fire is still ongoing and still on track. I invite everybody to attend not only our next fire board meeting, which is next Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. It is still being live streamed. We haven't made any decision yet on going back to live fire board meetings, but the July fire board meetings, as well as the report, will be looking to be wrapped up and the recommendations will be made to annex into Confire. So please attend those meetings so you can stay informed. Everything so far from what we're being told on the report is still checking out that an annexation is definitely doable. So we're waiting for that final report to come out, and not only will our fire board vote on it in the July meeting, Board of Supervisors will too. So again, I highly encourage everybody to please attend those meetings. Our meetings are live streamed through our website, so you can find it there. And then finally, I was going to talk about this last meeting, but we wrapped up our COVID vaccination clinics that our district was helping host at the LMC site in Brentwood. The demand finally dropped enough to where people could just go to their regular doctor or their local pharmacy and get a vaccine. So our mission was complete at that time. Happy to report we did vaccinate over 6,000 local residents in our area just through our drive-through sites. So, and it was a joint effort between all the fire departments, the sheriff's department, public health, and we made it happen. So we were able to get 6,000 of our residents a little bit safer through that effort. And we wrapped that up and moving on to our next task, which is wildland season. With that, my report's complete. I'm available for questions.
This is Carolyn Graham. I have one question. For vegetation abatement along Highway 4 between Discovery Bay Boulevard and the Centex Homes, would that be Caltrans that would take care of that? There's a lot of dead grass and dead branches and trees.
I don't know that for sure. Usually it is Caltrans. I'll have to have our prevention bureau check on the easement and the property lines over there, but usually those areas are Caltrans. And if it is Caltrans, I can have our prevention bureau send them a message that they need to start abating that property.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's looking pretty dry out there, so thank you. Chief, before you go, you had mentioned the single structure fire. Was that on Balboa or South Point?
Oh, you know what? Why did I write down Balboa? It was on South Point yesterday. I think Balboa was a different incident.
Okay.
I was trying to type fast. My computer at work has been down for a week, and it just came online this afternoon. So I was talking about, yes, you were correct. It was South Point yesterday. I had to actually go buy a whole new computer for my workstation, so good times.
Yeah. unless there's any more questions from the board, thank you, Chief.
All right, thanks a bunch, and be safe out there.
You too. Do we have any liaison reports?
Sorry, you caught me off guard.
Oh, liaison reports.
Those were the liaison reports.
Correct.
So I think we're in that business and action.
Yes, we have business action items.
Okay.
Okay, so our water engineer, Justin Choate, we know this call meeting, is going to present the, it's a public hearing on the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan. Justin, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Mike, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, board. Thanks for having me. This staff report that we prepared for this item covers the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan. This is to conduct, the purpose of this report is to conduct a public hearing to review and adopt the Urban Water Management Plan. And our recommendations are, first we'll have a presentation very similar to the presentation we had last month on the Urban Water Management Plan. To inform the board of what it, the contents of the plan are. From there, the board can open up a public hearing, receive public input on the plan, and can also move forward to approve a resolution to adopt the Urban Water Management Plan if there's no changes that will be made, no significant changes that will be made as a result of public hearing and input. So that's our recommendation for tonight. The Urban Water Management Plan, as you know, is a required document from the State Department of Water Resources that needs to be prepared every 5 years, and it is due this year on July 1st, 2021. We've reviewed the new requirements for the Urban Water Management Plan and coordinated with the district staff to update the previous 2015 plan to meet the new requirements and provide the new information. We did a presentation previously, and nothing has changed since then, but we'll go through it again so you're aware of what's inside of it. We've done all of the public notifications that have been required under the law to present the information to the public so there's an awareness of what we're putting inside of this plan. It's been available for public review as of May 18th on the district's website. And we've submitted notifications to the Contra Costa County Public Works more than 60 days in advance of this meeting, informing them that we're updating the plan and we'll be having this public hearing. So notifications have all been sent out. And from here, I would like to move into the presentation that we've prepared, which is on the next sheet. There's a PowerPoint that should be up. Page one is the Town of Discovery Bay 2020 Urban Water Management Plan, June 2nd, 2021, sorry. I'm Ludorf and Scalmanini Consulting Engineers. I'm Justin Choate with the company that assisted the district with preparing this plan. On page two, sheet two, slide two of this presentation, just topics of what we're covering. Going to cover the overview of what's inside of the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and the schedule for the adoption of the plan. Okay, going to slide three, just a summary of what's required. It's a water code, California water code requirement applies to systems with over 3,000 customers or more supplying more than 3,000 acre feet. It's done every 5 years, and we've tracked the new requirements for the Urban Water Plan. And it's due on July 1st to be submitted to the Department of Water Resources. Going to slide four now. The purpose of this Urban Water Plan is to provide long-term reliable planning. It identifies the efficiency measures that the town uses or would employ if there's a water shortage. It includes a water shortage contingency plan and captures all of the water portfolio within the district. It's a document also on this final bullet that's required for grants and loans for systems that are looking for that, but it's also required by LAFCO for any service area modifications to the water system. Moving on to slide five, the new requirements, as we discussed last time, they were pretty extensive, but we identified all of them. The biggest one was the water shortage contingency plan, which we previously brought to the board and had adopted and implemented into this Urban Water Management Plan. There's a lot of information now on drought risk assessment and long-term forecasting that we dug into. And then there's information on risk assessments and energy analysis and data that needs to be collected and put inside of the plan. Moving on to slide six. Slide six is just an overview of the chapter titles within the plan. So if we wanted to refer to any in the discussion, these are the titles. The overview, preparing it, subscription system, water use, baseline targets, so on and so forth. I don't need to read every chapter title. So moving on to slide seven. Slide seven is the big picture in terms of the projection and I'd say the overall function of the urban water plan within DWR is they want to know how much water the systems within California are projecting to use over a 25-year time frame. So for Discovery Bay, we looked at our current build out. We looked with staff at other possible developments that are outside of the current build out. And then beyond that, what would be just some unidentified developments that just based on the historic growth rate of 3.1%. And that's how our projections were developed. So currently we have 15,575 population, and by 2045 through these developments, we were projecting 32,606, so more than doubling. And the water demands are just annual demands is what we're looking at, millions of gallons. So 1,050 million gallons is what we're producing today. And by 2045 with that population, we would be producing 2,491 million gallons per year. So that's this slide. Now moving on to slide eight, this is the other very critical aspect of the Urban Water Management Plan, which was to inform the state that we are meeting our water use target. These targets were established in 2010. Within this bill called SBX 7-7 to reduce water use by 20% by 2020. And we more than exceeded that target. The target for us was, our baseline was 261, 20% reduction means our target was 209, and our actual was 185. And I should point out the units here are gallons per capita per day. So it's the total gallons produced in the system, the total population of the system per averaged out per day. Gallons per capita per day. Moving on to slide nine, just an overview of the system supplies. Discovery Bay meets all of its demand from groundwater. It currently owns and operates 6 groundwater wells. Discovery Bay is also one of the 7 groundwater sustainability agencies in the East Contra Costa sub-basin that is developing a groundwater sustainability plan. And all of the data to date indicates we are under sustainable conditions into the foreseeable future as well. Moving on to slide 10, water supply reliability assessment is where the plan looks at what we would expect in terms of our supply if we have a dry year or an average year, a single dry year, or 5 consecutive dry years, which would essentially be what we saw during the drought was 5 consecutive dry years. And through that drought, our groundwater levels were not impacted. So as a result of the data that's been collected historically in that, our finding is in another 5 consecutive dry year, we would expect a similar outcome where our groundwater is not significantly impacted by low precipitation. Moving on to slide 11. Water shortage contingency plan addresses how the district would respond in the event of a shortage, whether it's a groundwater shortage or a physical infrastructure loss, or even just a shortage that the state is mandating from a statewide drought, which is what we saw in the previous drought. We weren't physically experiencing shortage, but the state mandated a shortage, a reduction. So this plan just identifies how we would achieve those reduction goals if it was required. Moving on to slide 12, the plan also describes the district's practices in terms of water conservation, which they call demand management measures. So it goes into some detail about what our current practices are and what our future practices are or would be in the event that they're required for water production. And moving on to slide 13, this brings us to the schedule. Well, the schedule is, I would say, where we're at here is the June 2nd, off to the right-hand side for public hearing to review and adopt. That's what we'd like to open it up with after this presentation. And from there, if the board adopts the plan, then we would package it all up and submit it to DWR to meet the July 1st deadline. And prior to this, we have conducted the notification and outreach that's required under the law to make sure that there's been proper, you know, public notifications that have been made. So this is bringing me to slide 14, which is questions. That concludes my presentation. So if there's questions on the presentation, I'm here to answer. Thank you.
Bill Helfrich, I have a couple of questions when you have a chance, please.
Bill, let's wait till I open up public comments, please. Board members? Hey, Justin, if I could just summarize. So from my own understanding, it sounds like this report really is for two purposes. One, for the state to get an understanding of what we anticipate our water use is going to be. And then second is more of a kind of an edification for the town to just understand, hey, if there are some issues, how are we going to deal with it? Is that kind of an oversimplification?
I'd say that's perfect, spot on.
Perfect. With that then, if there's no questions from the boards, go ahead and open to public comments. Bill?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yep, go ahead.
Bill Helfrich? Hello?
Go ahead, Bill. We can hear you, Bill. I think we lost Bill. Is there any other members of the public that wishes to comment?
Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead, Bill.
Hello?
We hear you.
Go ahead or not?
Go ahead. We hear you. Can you hear us?
So I'm trying to make a comment on G1, and then I've tried to read through the multi-page report, and the thing that strikes me are two things is the fact that you have stated that in the last 5-year drought, our water levels really didn't decline, that we were just fine. And I think we should be fighting the state, and it's one of these issues of if we are forced to cut back 20% or 30% because the other states, they're not getting any of our water, so it's not doing anybody else any good, and it's just causing a hardship on us. And I think we should be fighting that. I'm going to go on to the issue of this, how are you going to enforce it? One of the provisions I saw was a rate increase for high users, or your last gallons may cost more than your first gallons. That's one of the provisions that you were talking about being able to implement. I disagree that that is legal. You are authorized to sell us the water at what it costs. Doesn't matter whether it's the first gallon or the last gallon, they're all going to cost the same. And actually, the more water that's used, the infrastructure costs get spread over a larger base and actually become less costly on the more volume. So those are my two comments regarding this management program. I would love to see more public comment on it, but it is a monster report to read, well written, but it's long and it's details, and I don't think anybody's really paying a lot of attention to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Are there any other members of the public that wishes to comment? Okay, hearing none, then I'll bring it back to the board for any clarifying questions. Justin, I actually had one. In your dealings with the state, how flexible are they as far as pushing back on them?
Well, in terms of the 20% reduction standard, I think that ship has sailed. I mean, we've achieved what we set out to achieve. Moving forward, I guess the question would be if that standard is something that's in question moving forward. Generally speaking, the state provides certain avenues for specific circumstances to address, to address what we feel would be more reflective of a standard for, our area, our region, our conditions. And during the drought, for example, there was a much, much higher reduction being imposed. And because of our conditions, we sought and achieved a lower standard because we weren't physically being, we weren't physically having water shortage issues. And moving forward, there's other regulations we're tracking that the state's rolling out. That nothing has been decided yet, so there's still room for this going to the state and seeing, seeing what flexibility they have, as you say, in terms of the water use objectives that they're going to be establishing. So these are water use objectives that we expect to see by the end of the year for all. It'll be issued for all agencies and for all water districts, and it'll be the categories of residential and commercial and landscaping. So through that process, I'd say is where we'll start to see what flexibility there is. There's like I said, I've looked into it, and there are avenues for unique circumstances to be considered.
Does Carol?
One question. Are you familiar with any towns, community services district, whatever, charging for higher water rates? No, for higher water usage, charging a higher rate for higher water usage, here we go, and having any legal issues?
Personally, no. not in just any of the districts.
This is Mike Kirok. Would you like me to respond to that question?
Sure. Thank you, Mike.
Sure. So in Oakley, when I was the manager there for the water district, we did have tiered water rates. And as long as you can demonstrate that the higher usage of water places greater demand on your system, and therefore you have to have greater capacity, employees are doing more water conservation efforts to try and encourage those using higher water amounts to reduce their water consumption. You just basically tabulate what is it that the lower water use customers are placing as a financial burden on the district versus the higher users. And once you have that legal nexus, you can then establish what those tiered rates should be.
Thank you.
So the answer is yes.
Yep.
Director Graves, do you have any clarifying questions? Okay. Well, I guess I'll bring it back to the board. Is this an action item that we're going
to? Well, this is a public hearing. I'll bring it to you legal. Do we have to officially open a quote public hearing and then close a public hearing, or is accepting the public comments in compliance with what we needed to do? I ask legal.
That's sufficient, Mike. That public comment was a public hearing.
Okay, so as long as you close the public comments, then you can move on to adopting or voting to adopt the plan.
Okay. Well, I believe I already closed public comments, so then I'll bring it back to the board for a motion for adoption.
Make a motion to adopt resolution 2021-08.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Bateau?
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Chair, before